Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Hello and welcome to Dwayne's World. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening around the planet. It is Midday Madness time. You call, you get on. That's the Midday Madness promise. Took a record 50 calls yesterday, so let's try and get 50 on today in the first 2 hours of the program. 1-300-736-736 is the number if you'd like to join me for Midday Madness. Midday Madness for Work Locker, Karen Downs and Pakenham Workwear for wherever you work. Anything in the water sport you'd like to discuss, we will get you on for the next 2 hours. Plenty to come later on the Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu as well. Sammy Edmund after two, he'll join us. Hawthorn defender Jack Scrimshaw's got to have a chat, so looking forward to having a chat to Jack. Darcy Wilson, the rising star of the round, he's going to join me after two. And Simon Hill, so plenty to come later on the Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu. Beat the lunch lockout with Grandmother Ham from Barclays Smokehouse. Find it at your local deli. But your calls straight off the top, 1-300-736-736. And your texts, keep them coming through. I read them all. Don't read them all out, but I do read them all. Quite a few I get through during the ad break, so keep them coming. 0433-98-1116. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is temper. It's the temper, T-E-M-P-U-R, text machine. So keep your text coming as well. And I'll give you my order of if I was to rank the teams by most likely to least likely to win the flag this year, I'll give you my ranking because I think the top eight, I think the ladder has a lot of lies in it. We talk about the ladder for the first time this year has all the teams having played the same amount of games, but I think there's a lot of lies in the ladder, so we'll get to that very shortly as well. But Gary in Moa, you're first on the line, and you want to talk Toby Green. Jared's been talking Toby Green quite a bit, so we might as well get a few Toby Green questions out of the way early. Welcome to you, Gary. Thanks for jumping on.
No problem, Dwayne. Thanks for having me, mate.
Fire away.
Rightio, so with the Toby Green incident, we've got him obviously competing for the ball probably right until the last split second where he's had to make a decision. He either continues forward with his arms out or he protects himself with his knee, which is something that has been encouraged and is legal. And he could literally lift his knee virtually head height and smash that guy in the head with his knee, take the mark and be fully compliant with the laws of the AFL, put the guy into hospital, and he's done the right thing, apparently. Or he braces himself in a non-aggressive manner. The guy's okay, he's okay, and everyone's fine. What do we want to do? What do we want to encourage? Do we want to encourage guys to stick their knee out and continue that mark in, with their knee out like that and put blokes into hospital? Because that's what
no one's doing that, though, Gary. I don't know. I think you're misguided if you think that the thought process of players is, I'm going to jump into this marking contest to mark the ball and try and put the guy into hospital. No one does that, Gary, though. So why are you saying what would we prefer? We'd prefer neither. We don't want guys to put their knee through someone and put someone in hospital, but no one jumps into a marking contest thinking I'm going to mark the ball and while I'm at it might just kill someone too.
No, I'm not saying they'd intentionally do it. What I'm saying is they would use their knee as a way to protect themselves, which
that's different. You've made the accusation that a player would raise his knee to try and make contact with someone's head. What would we want? Well, we don't want that. Yeah, okay, you raise your legs up, your knees up to protect yourself, yeah. But that's not with the intention of contacting someone's head. That's just the intention of protecting yourself. They're two different things. So what do we want? What do we want? We want guys to be able to take a chest mark and protect themselves. And if there is incidental contact, not deliberate, if there's deliberate contact, that's different. But if there's incidental contact, then that's fine. So you're asking me what we want. We want guys to be able to take a chest mark. And if there's incidental contact, then that's fine. I think I disagree with you, Gary, about the intention of players when they raise their knee in a marking contest about whether they're aiming at heads. But look, maybe I've misread what you said. Albert in Essendon, welcome to you, Albert. You got a thought on this?
Hi, Dwayne. How are you, mate?
Good.
As soon as Toby leaves the ground, he braces for impact. At no stage is his arms out to take a chest mark or mark the ball in front of him at all, ever. So you can't say he wanted to mark the ball. He just wanted to make sure he ruffled up the feathers of the opposition player and hopefully knocked the ball out of his grasp.
Yeah, I didn't say he was trying to mark the ball either, Albert, so I agree with you. I think he tried to mark the ball on the way in, but then he got in the air and he braced for contact. So my thoughts on where Toby Green's at, so let's just put this in a nutshell out there so everyone knows where I stand on it. My gut feel is that Toby knew contact was coming and he shouldn't have braced for contact. So that's where I'm at. And bracing for contact is his sin in this instance. He should have continued on to try and take the chest mark. Now, he might get off because he didn't do any damage. He did nowhere near the damage that he could have done. He could have done a lot of damage accidentally if he took the mark. But my gut feel is he still braced for contact. So I'm with you, Albert. I don't think he continued on to try and attempt the mark. So I think he's probably going to still have a week over his head at the end of tonight's tribunal.
Hey, Pipe.
Yeah.
What about Sam Mitchell? Do you reckon he's got the guns? Do you reckon he's got the game plan to take him forward? I mean, we played Mount North and we won. Do you think his game plan stacks up, mate?
Yeah, I think he's going to be good long term for you, Albert. Yes, I think he's clever enough. I think he'll evolve. I said a couple of weeks ago, you don't have the list to be winning games at the moment. When you start getting players like, well, Jath is still injured, but when you get Day back, you get, you know, Denver Granger Barras is available. You might get Bruce back in. So I think there's a number of players when they come back. Lewis, obviously, Mitch Lewis, that you're going to be a lot better. So then he's got more weapons to work with, and I think you will climb the ladder and win some games. So, yeah, I reckon Sam Mitchell is the right guy.
Thanks, Pye. Appreciate it, mate.
Good on you. Thanks for your call. Rick on the road. You got a thought on Toby Green. Welcome to you, Rick.
G'day, Pye. How you going?
Good.
Hey, the Toby Green incident, I honestly think that there should be the player that got knocked down. I don't know who his name is.
Yeah, he didn't get knocked out, though. He was fine.
Yeah, okay. So
Jordan Boyd.
The guy that got bumped, he has a duty of care to himself to have a little bit of peripheral vision about what's going on. You can't just run back into a pack or run into anywhere. He needs to have a little bit of awareness. And I think partially it's his own sort of fault. It's like driving a car and closing your eyes for a second. You're driving. Like, I just think that Toby, he has all the right in the world to protect himself. He knew that he was probably not going to make it. Quickly braced, and he got him high. But the other guy needs to also do the same thing. Like, you know, you're running back with your eyes up in the air, you're going to run into a brick wall, mate. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
But Boyd continues on to try and take the mark, though. So that's his out. He's allowed to run. Everyone's allowed to run in any direction in an attempt to take the mark, whether you're running with the flight, against the flight, from the side. If you're attempting to take the mark, then that is your out. If you keep your eyes on the ball, then that is your out. If you put your arms up to get the ball, then that is your out. So if Boyd braces for contact and Green attempts the mark and Boyd takes Green out and concusses him because he braced for contact, he would be the one at the tribunal tonight, Rick.
I think that's ridiculous. I just think the whole system is just really flawed, honestly. Like, it's either one way or the other. Who gets injured, the other person gets in trouble. It's not right. It's got to be one way or the other. I honestly think that, I don't know where we're going with the sport. We're going to turn into Gaelic football. I don't know where we're going with the sport, honestly.
Well, if you go for the mark, Rick, that's the bottom line. You go for the mark. There's a text here. Dwayne, the first call was only asking if he goes into a marking contest with his knee up, which is legal, he would have caused more damage to his head. Listen to the question. Jono from Ascot Vale. Jono, I've been listening to this question. Kane Cods has been on this for years and years and years, and I've had enough of the garbage of it. It's a load of garbage. If you are attempting to take the mark 100%, going for the mark in a marking contest, you're not attempting to take the guy out, you're not jumping into a marking contest unrealistically. If you jump into a marking contest 100% intent on taking the mark and you do accidentally knee guy on the head and you knock him out, then that is going to be part of our game forever. And I've said this a million times, so let me just say it one more time. The AFL won't ever take that out of the game. It's a bit like boxing taking punching out. You're not allowed to punch to the head in boxing anymore. Well, then it's not boxing. You're always going to have the right to go for a ball in a marking contest if you're 100% legitimately going for the mark. Now, there have been players suspended before for jumping into a marking contest unrealistically with knees up with no intention at the ball. And they've been suspended for that. So when I get asked the same question again that Kane Corns keeps throwing up, to me it's a non-question because To me, you are allowed to jump into a marking contest and legally go for the ball. And even Boyd is allowed to go up in a marking contest against the flight. And there are a few trying to ban that action as well, which I don't like. So, yeah, it's just my opinion. I don't think the AFL will ever change that. John on the road, you want to talk Collingwood? Great to have your call. John, welcome to you.
Yeah, thank you, Lyon. I thought I'd change things up a little bit. Look, I'm not sure whether their resurgence is a recipe for back-to-back, but I guess you've got to be in the mix when the whips are cracking. But when the Pies came back from pre-season training, I mean, everybody talked about how this was a group that was really hungry. They trained the house down. There was no talk of back-to-back and back-to-work, which was true. But I think, Dwayne, they probably stressed themselves out a little bit too much early on. I reckon there was an anxiety about the group to come back and show that there was no hangover. And I think they trained so hard that they actually gave themselves mental and physical fatigue. So I guess the little break over the weekend and them coming back and having a really good showing sort of proves that. But that was my feeling, that it wasn't a lack of training or a lack of hunger. I think they probably overdid it a little bit and they drained themselves mentally and physically. And I'd like to think they're back.
I think they're back too, John. In fact, I'm going to go through it very shortly. I think the ladder lies. The ladder isn't telling us the truth at the moment. The top eight, I don't think, is telling us the truth. Collingwood 10th is a lie. Brisbane 12th is a lie. Geelong 1st, I think, is going to have a correction. I think they'll lose their next two. I think that's a bit of a lie as well. Geelong 1st at the moment. And Adelaide 15th, they're not that bad. So I'm going to go through that very shortly as well. Shane in Berwick, though, want to talk to Saints. Welcome to you, Shane.
Hey, Dwayne. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good.
That's good. I love hearing everyone's opinions, mate. Love the show. I just wanted to talk a bit about the Saints, mate. So I go to all the games and I'm an avid supporter, mate. I'd just like to get your version on where you think we're at. Like, I watch the games. We come out firing some weeks. We put 6 or 7 on the board. Then we go quiet for a few quarters. I look at everyone we've picked up, Dow being injured, Henry being injured. That's unfortunate. But going forward, I just really struggle to see what our long-term projection is. Like, obviously, we want to win games. We want to go out there and put our best team on the park each and every week. But Port Adelaide away is going to be tough to win. Then we come back to Melbourne and we've got, like, North Melbourne. Like, everyone's going to be up and about if we beat the Roos. But they're struggling this year. I just struggle each week to think to myself, like, where are we going to be in sort of, like, you know, 2025 and onwards? I'm just struggling to see what we need to sort of get that right niche as a team.
I think you want to move the ball quick under Ross Lyon. That's what he wants to do. Darcy Wilson's on the show a little bit later on. They recruited him for midfield speed. You got Hill. You got Henry when he's back. I think that's where you're going to evolve to, Shane. I think you'll continue to evolve in that midfield ball movement speed direction under Ross. He's obviously always going to play a defensive game style, and that is his go. But I'm more buoyant about your chances in the future than you sound, Shane. You might need another big gun. Will Max King ever be a 70-goal goal kicker as well is the big question that I ask. So who else is it going to be if it's not Max? I mean, Max King needs to be, dare I say it, Nick Larkey. I mean, Nick Larkey kicked 71 last year. That's where Max needs to be. He needs to be Nick Larkey at least for you to be a premiership contender, I think.
Nah, I agree, mate. Thank you very much.
Do you think he's going to be... Do you think he can kick 70? Do you think he can be as good as Nick Larkey?
Nah, mate, I don't like the spin of the ball when he goes in for goal. It gives me anxiety watching him. I don't think he can, mate. I wish he could, but I don't think he's going to be set for any goal kicker, to tell you the truth, mate. That's just my honest opinion as a supporter and an avid Max King fan. I do rate the guy highly, but I can't see him kicking 70, mate.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your call. That's a question I keep asking myself as well. Phil in Roeville, you want to talk marking contest? Welcome to you, Phil.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Just a quick one. I don't want to flog a dead horse, but I don't think Kane Corns is on about a question about the marking contest. It's more to do with the hypocrisy of, on one hand, we're allowed to go in the mark and make contact with the head and it's all play on and well and good. But then when a bump happens that is part or was part of our game for a long time, it's taken to the nth degree of we made contact with the head. It's not the fact that, like I said, the question about it. It's just a hypocrisy. On one hand, that's okay. But then on the other hand, we're so careful to not make any contact with the head at all.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's... I think they're two completely different things, Phil. So a bump is a bump is attacking a guy who's got the ball and you're not trying to win it. A marking contest is an attempt to win the ball. So to me, Phil, they're two different things. A bump is attacking the guy who's got the ball, you know what I mean? Whereas a mark is trying to actually win the free ball. Two different things.
But what I'm trying to get you to understand is the fact that the bump was part of winning the ball when it came to a group.
Well, the bump's never been part of actually trying to win the ball, though, Phil. The bump's always been trying to take the guy out who's got the ball. So if you can draw a line between the two things, one is winning a ball that's free, and the bump is attacking the guy who's got the ball. So there's two different rules for the two different situations. It's the same as Zach Butters last week. He was trying to win a free ball as opposed to bumping a guy who had the ball. Butters got off because he was theoretically trying to win a free ball. And that's why he got off for head-high contact. Because the winning of a free ball is different to attacking a guy who's already got the ball.
Yeah, but don't you think that bumping a guy in a contest in a situation where your teammate may get the ball is about trying to win the ball for your team?
It's about trying to win the ball for your team, but you're still attacking the guy with the ball. So you can't see the difference. I'm trying to explain it as best I can. That's the best I can explain it. In a game of footy, you've either got a free ball that is there to be won, or you've got a guy who's got the ball and you're attacking him, yes, to try and get the ball off him, but you can't hit a guy who's already got the ball head high. That's illegal. Whereas if you're going for a ball that's free, even the process in trying to win the free ball, you accidentally hit a guy head high. That will be allowed in a marking contest, and it was allowed in the Butters instance last week. So, yeah, I'm trying to explain the difference between the two, as I did with that opening caller. The difference between jumping into a marking contest with your knees up to protect yourself and accidentally making contact, as opposed to jumping into a marking contest with your knees up thinking, I might take this guy out. Jack in Sandringham, are you there, Jack?
G'day, Pipe. Sorry, something completely different. Why don't, it is an absolute indictment, why don't the Brisbane Lions wear the Fitzroy jumper when they play in Melbourne? It's a disgrace.
I think they did for a while, didn't they?
Don't think so. What are they doing?
No, they did, Jack, for a while. I'm sure they did. And if you're a Brisbane supporter out there, if you can confirm it on the text, yeah, they wore it as their away jumper. The same as the Sydney Swans have done, wore the South Melbourne jumper down here in Melbourne for quite a few of their away games. Thanks, Jack. Ian on the road. You there, Ian?
Hi, Pete. Look, I'm curious what your thoughts are. I've been watching a lot of the games on the TV, and players, when they're kicking for goal, if they're twirling the ball in their hands, 9 times out of 10, they seem to miss. Do you think that's affecting them, doing that?
Old school style, Ian, you wouldn't teach a player to do that, twirl the ball in your hands. You would teach him to settle it in your hands. And the great goal kickers, I don't think, were twirlers of the ball. I don't think Jason Dunstall and Tony Lockett were twirlers of the ball just before they actually kicked the ball. So for some reason, that's allowed these days by coaches. But if I was coaching, I would probably tell the kids that I was coaching not to be a ball twirler. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, because you took the words out of my mouth. Plugger and Jason Dunstall, they just put the boot into the ball. And,
yeah.
You know, every time that they registered a goal, I just can't believe what they're doing these days.
No, I can't believe it either, Ian, so I'm with you on that. Hold the line. We've got a Barkley Smokehouse ham coming your way. Barkley Smokehouse lunch menu. Beat the lunch lockout with Grandmother Ham from Barkley Smokehouse. Find it at your local deli. Quite a few coming through. Yes, they did wear the Fitzroy jumper. And, yeah, we have seen them do that a number of times. And another one here that Peter Wright was trying to win a free ball. Well, Peter Wright was trying to win a free ball right up until the time that he braced for contact and bumped. And that's the difference between trying to win a free ball and at the last second electing to bump. And that's exactly where Toby Green's at tonight. Back to your calls and your texts straight after the break.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Straight back to your calls and your texts. Dennis in Bundoora. You want to talk to Nick Larkey? Welcome to you, Dennis.
Good morning, Mr. Russell. Or afternoon now, sorry. I want to complain, I guess. The amount of time Nick Larkey's up the ground, I'd much rather see him closer to goals. He must be the best rated wingman going around at the moment. The second thing is, the skill level at North is pretty alarming, actually. I'm just seeing blokes go for a mark, and it's just going straight through their hands. I was always taught that, you know, if you got your hand to the ball, you're expected to catch it. I just see some basic skill errors that, you know, feed from the experienced players. What are your thoughts?
Well, let me ask a question to you, Dennis, because I actually don't know the answer. Is it recruiting? You haven't recruited players with good enough skills? Is it development, so you're not developing them well enough, so your development crew are not good enough? Or is it confidence, so they're that down on confidence that it doesn't matter whether you've recruited stars and developed them well, their confidence is that down at the moment that they can't hit the side of a barn with a kick or take a mark?
Yeah, granted. I just think, you know, a lot of these players have got 50, 60 games in them now. I know we're a young team and all the rest of it, but I really need to start seeing some improvement, because what we're dishing up at the moment is just... I mean, North fans generally don't complain much, but it's now got to a point where, you know, we're just actually talking about it. It's just, I cannot see us getting a win anywhere. It's so frustrating.
It is, and it must be extremely frustrating given that North Melbourne's last 4 years have been 17th, 18th, 18th and 17th, and now you're 18th again. So... your recruiting definitely hasn't been good enough. Let's just put that on the agenda. Is your coaching good enough? Well, Clarko's a master coach, but something going on down there at the moment. Confidence is down. Game style is against a brick wall. And for some reason, confidence and development hasn't worked at the moment with a number of players. So, yeah, but it can turn around quickly, Dennis, and it's turned around for the West Coast at least. So, fingers crossed, Clarko, the master coach, can get it cranking at some stage this year. Otherwise, it's going to be another long year of 17th or 18th for North fans. Appreciate your call. Matthew in Port Adelaide, you there, Matthew?
Yeah, how you going, Dwayne?
Good.
Yeah, good. I just wanted to say, just with this bump situation, I think it's pretty simple. If you choose the bump, you should just automatically get a week. Then you just go through the match review panel conduct of charges and then, yeah, go from there. The only thing that you could probably add to those charges is maybe time, so that, you know, did the player have time to bump or pull out or make a contest? So, yeah, that was just my opinion. I think just automatic week, and then depending on how bad it is to what you get.
If it's head high, you mean?
Yeah, only head high. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I just wanted to clarify that one. Good call. Matt in Frankston, you there, Matt? You got a thought on North?
Yeah, go, Dwayne. How are you, mate?
Good.
Yeah, I don't know if the AFL did us any favours with the first five games we played. We played against three of the preliminary finalists, and we went up to Geelong and played Geelong. So for a team that is so incumbent on getting momentum at the start of the year, the scheduling certainly didn't help us. But also, there's certainly an issue with the defensive pressure acts, tackles. I think that's the thing that quarter by quarter, sorry about the scoreboard, defensive efforts will determine what the scoreboard's doing. And at the end of the fourth quarter, shots on goal will be sort of, you know, 7 or 8 shots on goal as opposed to sort of 14 for the half. So it'll come with time. These young kids will get to 100 games and, you know, that'll be the time that you judge them. But I think, you know, 30, 40 games is a bit hard. And as I said, I don't think the scheduling's helped such a young team either.
Yeah, it's a good call, Matt. I think the scheduling has knocked you around a bit. You've played some good teams. But effort... I mean, who's responsible for effort? Is that the coaches that have to instill effort, or is it the players? And effort should be almost a non-negotiable. Every player should bring that, especially the senior players. Great to have your call, Matt. Hold the line. We've got a Dwayne to a T-shirt for you. Midday Madness for Work Like a Karen Downs and Packet and Work Where For, wherever you work. Straight back to your calls and your texts after the break. You're with Dwayne's World. The number, if you'd like to jump on the line for Midday Madness, 1-300-736-736. Brought to us by Werribee Kia. Werribee Kia, always making buying cars easy. Ahmed in Point Cook, you've been holding for a while. Thanks for holding, Ahmed. Welcome to you.
Good afternoon, Dwayne. Just to clarify the situation between Green and Hogan, and unfortunately for Toby Green, he chose to do a high bump, which is not great. But it seems like it's unlikely he won't get off the plane tonight to face Brisbane on Thursday night. But Hogan, what are your chances of Hogan getting off tonight, Wayno?
Oh, look, he threw an arm out and he got a guy high, Ahmed. So unfortunate, but he did it.
So as far as I see about the Hogan, but it's unlikely, you know, they'll both accept a one-match ban and to be sit up for rest of the week and come back the next round. So because at this stage, you know, because Adam Kingsley, because they desperately want Green and Hogan to play this week, because it's going to be a tough game against Brisbane, Wayno.
Yeah, I can understand why they'd roll the dice on both, have a go at trying to get both off, but I think there are slim chances of getting them both off. Billy and Ascot Vale, you got a thought on Toby Green? What can you, Billy?
Yeah, afternoon, mate. Yeah, just quickly, if Toby Green had accidentally got concussed in that collision himself, would Boyd have anything to answer for or not?
Only if Boyd didn't go for the mark, Billy. So if Boyd deliberately tunnelled him or deliberately braced for contact and took him out and concussed him, absolutely. If you run back with the flight and you're not attempting to take the mark, Billy, you are in trouble, yes.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, that's all. I was just curious because, yeah, I was just wondering if by just some chance that Green did get accidentally concussed, if Boyd was going to have anything to answer for, because everyone's just talking about Green, everything. I was just wondering in that scenario what would have happened, but thank you for clarifying it.
Yeah, if four guys run in at 4 points of the compass and attempt to take the mark, and they all attempt to take the mark and they all knock each other out, they're not going to all get games for knocking each other out. They're actually all going to be free to play next week because, well, they won't be free to play next week, they'll be concussed, but they'll be free and not get suspended because they've all attempted to take the mark. But if one guy elects to bump in the middle of his jump, if one guy braces for contact in midair, then he's the one in trouble. Doesn't matter which angle you're coming from. Thanks for your call. Jesse and Gennaris, welcome to you, Jesse. You got a thought on Toby Green?
Quick question. What are the chances that he'll be getting off tonight? Your percentage, and then I'm going to ask you something else.
Yeah, well, as I said at the opener, my gut feel is that Toby knew contact was coming, that he shouldn't have braced for contact, and bracing for contact is his sin, and I think he's in trouble for it. The reason I think it is a toss of the coin that he might get off is because he didn't do any damage. I mean, he could have done damage. He's lucky he didn't do damage. And he might get off because there wasn't that dramatic a contact result.
Okay, so you'd say 70% chance he's probably... 30% chance he'll get off. What if it was a grand final? What do you reckon his chances would be?
Jesse, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so exactly the same if it was a grand final, chances of getting off. I'm not one of these blokes who want to read into... Well, let me work out where you are on the list of top 100 players. Let me work out where you are on the list of top 10 AFL teams in the comp that have influence at AFL House. Let me work out whether you're from interstate. Let me work out who Michael Christian played for. Okay, because if all those conspiracy theories were true, Jesse, then Michael Christian would have outed Butters last week because he was playing Collingwood last week, wouldn't he? So I'm not a conspiracy theorist when it comes to grand finals, Jesse. A lot of them are. So, no, the same chance he gets off this week as he would if there was a grand final.
I'll take it to the bank. If something will happen and someone will get off in the grand final. Exactly the same case. Take it to the bank, Brian.
Well, Jesse, it has happened. So that's the reason why you're fair to have that opinion. Because the AFL is so inconsistent with its rulings, then we can look at that. We can look at the Patrick Cripps one that he got off and won the Brownlow and look back and say, well, what in the hell happened there, AFL? They have been so inconsistent that they've got to fix their own system. Otherwise, it does open it up to conspiracy theories like yours about if it was a grand final, it get off. Well, so maybe they've got to go there tonight. The tribunal has to go there tonight and say, okay, what if this was a grand final this week? Would it be letting me off or not? And that's the decision they make, even though it's only round seven. And I presume that that's exactly what they will do. Think tonight when they go up, what will we do regardless of which round of the season it was? I hope they do that. We'll take a break. Good to have your call, Jesse. Appreciate you jumping on from Glen Iris. That's our first Take It to the Bank today on the open line for Bank of Queensland. That is the bank, if you wanted to go to a bank, to take it to. Drop into the Bank of Queensland and tell them we sent you. You were Dwayne's Wife.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Rose in Laylaw. Welcome to you, Rose.
Good afternoon, Dwayne. How are you?
Good.
I've got a bit to say that I'm just a bit upset with all this stuff against North, so I hope you'll let me go. I just think that the AFL has a lot to answer for the fixture that we've been given. We've played four finals clubs from 2023, and plus Geelong at Geelong, who hardly ever lose a game at home. And I just want to reiterate that Clark has only coached pretty much half a season over the two years under the duress of the Hawthorn saga, and Brisbane Lions are in a similar position to us with a better and more talented playing list, but yet they've lost three games at home as well, which is pretty much unheard of. Also, I think that whoever North plays on any given weekend gets crucified in the media in the lead-up to our games. Brisbane copped a shellacking in the media, even Carlton and the Hawks and even Adelaide now, and they like to take it out on us on game day. This week, I'm a bit concerned because Adelaide's been copping it with Josh Rakeli and incident, and I just really wish that the media and social media trolls would just back off and let us play.
Appreciate your call, Rose. Nice little editorial there. Josh Rakeli has spoken. He's going to pull out of doing his big celebrations like he has been doing. We heard that he was not committed enough in the contest. He berated himself publicly on that yesterday. So I'll play a little bit of that shortly. A couple of texts. One here. I think you're wrong, Dwayne. This is on North. Clarko was the master coach. Not anymore. Joe from Roeville. There's been a lot of texts on North. Keep your texts coming through. 0433 98 1116 is the text machine number, 0433 98 1116. Text machine for 40 Winks and Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R. Hey, Dwayne, who's doing the Anzac Day SEN call of the Pies game pipe? It'll be Jared Waitley and I, so looking forward to doing that game with Jared. Dwayne, who has the duty of care, Boyd or Green? That's the question that needs answering. Well, I've answered that already. There is nothing in the rules saying that your duty of care depends on which direction you're coming into the marking contest from. There's nothing in the rules that states that your direction in changes your duty of care. So the duty of care is with both, and neither player can brace for contact and get the other guy high. And one here on the text, which kind of sums things up. If someone is hit by a train, who is at fault? The train or the person now in pieces? And I appreciate that text. And it does oversimplify something that when you look at it, and if that does happen, they'd look at it and say, well, was the train speeding? So, yeah, you'd think it's the person, but was the train speeding? Was the train driver under the influence? Was the crossing light not working? Did the arm on the crossing not go down? Were the bells not ringing? Did someone push someone off the platform into the train? So it's not as simple as whose fault is it. You've got to look into the detail to work it out. So I'm glad you sent that text, and that's what we do on this show. There's no superficial answer to a lot of these questions. You've got to look at the detail. And we'll do more of that with a couple of callers after the break. Snapper and Mark of the Limestone Coast among them. Here's a little bit of Josh Rakeli, firstly, on not celebrating his goals as much. So he's going to pull back a bit on that. Here's Josh Rakeli on 5AA this morning.
Yeah, it's a hard one. Like, I had a lot of discussions with people over the weekend, because when you are going to celebrate like I do and show that passion, as you said, you can be put on a pedestal quite quickly when you're doing well, but when things aren't doing well, it goes down quite quickly. Like, Jack Ginnivan's a prime example of it, and everyone loves watching him play. I love watching him play, but to see when he's not doing well, he gets put down as quick as anyone. And I've had conversations about, yeah, do I just chill out on the celebrations a little bit and things like that, which I'm thinking about at the moment, just taking a little bit of a step back and just letting my footy do the talking a bit, just for a little bit. But yeah, it is hard because that's how I've always played as
that's
a junior.
You, that's your personality. That's people. That's why people love watching you play footy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But it's also, again, at the end of the day, when something goes wrong, this stuff hits you quite hard too. So yeah, it's a fine line.
Josh Rochelle on that. Here's Josh Rochelle yesterday saying that he wasn't committed hard enough to that marking contest, explaining that away and really setting the agenda for him to get that right next time and have us all forget it. What happened on the
it's
weekend?
A tough
here's
one.
Josh Rochelle.
They've definitely repeated in my head over and over again this whole weekend. And just a couple of little marking errors. That the first one was just more about I thought someone was coming right over the top of me and completely, honestly, just, yeah, wasn't brave enough in that situation, which, yeah, I'm going to have to take that and move on and learn from it. And the other one was just a complete misjudge. The ball just sailed over and I thought it was coming a bit closer. I think in literally a minute or two later, I went back with the mark and I think I got cleaned up. So I still ask myself the question right now, what was I doing? I think it was just that external pressure, that those thoughts going through your mind at that time. It's just about practicing those moments. Definitely going to do a few of them this week.
Straight back to your calls after the break. You're with Midday Madness.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World, wherever you're listening, including, say, around the world or around Australia, if you're listening on the app as well, which Jimmy is in Ipswich. Welcome to you, Jimmy.
Hey, Pipes, how you going?
Good.
Mate, love your show, obviously, Leo. That shirt that you sent me last year, fits perfectly. Thank you so much. Mate,
thank you.
I love listening to you. I just want to get your opinion on the Blues. You know I'm a massive Carlton supporter. Personally, I think the win last week was probably their best win, one of their best, probably top five in the last 2 years under Vossi, considering the amount of injuries they've got. But your opinion on Carlton, can they go all the way?
Yes, and I'm going to go through my top eight. I'm going to give you the real ladder after the break. Forget the ladder as it stands right now. There's a lot of lies in it. Collingwood 10th, that's a lie. Brisbane 12th. That's a lie. I think Geelong's not the best team in the comp. They're top at the moment. So I'm going to go through the ladder and I'll let you know where Carlton is on the real ladder according to, well, I'm going to rank the teams most likely to least likely to win the flag this year, Jimmy, after one. So stick with me for that if you can. Tony on the road. You'll have to be quick, Tony. Welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Look, you made mention of a comment earlier on about how you wouldn't be surprised if Toby Green gets off tonight in the tribunal. I mean, you're basing it on the outcome. I mean, I thought they cleared all this up after Maynard hit Brayshaw. I mean, Peter Wright hit that guy fair and square. He got 4 weeks. But you're saying that Toby Green might get off, or you wouldn't be surprised if he gets off. I mean, clearly, he made the decision to jump off the ground. Yeah. His shoulder made contact with his head. Boyd played out the rest of the game, and that's what you're basing it on. All right, on the outcome, not about the actual intent.
Yeah, so the impact of your action does get taken into account when the suspension is decided by the MRO and the tribunal, Tony. So it's not just based on the action. But look, here's a bit of Brad Scott actually muddying this water. He reckons a lot of it is based on the outcome and not the action. Here's Brad Scott, the coach of the Bombers. He wasn't happy Peter Wright got suspended.
I couldn't help it, but notice Adam Kingsley's comment. You know, you're allowed to look at the ball and launch at the ball and try and mark the ball. And Pete's just nodding his head saying, yes, I agree with that. I mean, clearly the AFL determine a penalty based on outcome, not on action. That's abundantly clear now to everyone. I can show you, you guys can find so many examples where there are collisions with players with their eyes on the ball. But if one player gets concussed, the AFL holds someone liable for it. You know, in almost all cases now.
That was Brad Scott. And I'd love to play it, but we haven't got time right now. Adam Kingsley. Everyone's got their own view of this. That's Brad Scott's view coming off the basis of Peter Wright getting suspended for what he thinks is pretty much the same action. I'll give you Adam Kingsley's view next too.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World and for Midday Madness. Another big hour of Midday Madness still to come, so keep your calls coming. 1300 736 736 on the open line, brought to us by Werribee Kia. Werribee Kia always make buying cars easy. Just to wrap up what we were doing before the news, I played you a little bit of Brad Scott. So he's coming at it from the angle of his guy, Peter Wright, got suspended. So that's why he's coming at it from his angle when it comes to the Toby Green issue. Well, Adam Kingsley, of course, he's the coach of the Giants. He's coming at it from his angle. And here's Adam Kingsley through his rose-coloured glasses.
He won't be anything in that. He's allowed to contest the ball, isn't he? He's allowed to launch at the ball. And if you're running and launching at the ball and you've got your eyes for the ball, you're trying to take a chest mark and you get knocked, free kick against. It's hard being Toby.
I was going to say, is it hard for players leading at the ball in general now? Like we saw the Peter Wright one.
No, earlier. Just Toby.
Yeah, just Toby. So, obviously, Adam Kingsley reckons there's a Toby tax and one here on the text. The Toby tax is the biggest myth in football. He is a protected species and it's the media doing the protecting. So, there you go. Everyone sees it through their own lens. Adam Kingsley did himself no favours there, seeing it through that lens, I don't think. Back to your calls and your texts. Keep them coming. Blair in Thornbury. One last one on Toby Green whilst you're hanging on there. Blair, welcome to you.
G'day, Dwayne.
Good to have you.
Thank you. I heard you say a little bit earlier that you don't think anyone would go into a contest with the thought to hurt another player. And I'd like to believe that that's true. But unfortunately, this is Toby Green. And he's got form in this area. He's been suspended for 15 weeks. He's been fined thousands and thousands of dollars. And as a part of that, he didn't get suspended for fly kicking Luke Dowhouse in the head, and he didn't get suspended for eye gouging Marcus Bontempelli.
Well, he didn't because he didn't get suspended, he didn't get found guilty of it, Blair. You're only saying that you think that he goes there to deliberately hurt players. I don't think he does, Blair. Now, he might deliberately contact players and he might have put a boot up when he shouldn't have and done things in the past where he shouldn't have, but I don't think there's any player in the game now that goes into a contest to deliberately hurt someone else, Blair. So you can disagree with me on that, but I don't think Toby is that kind of guy either.
It just happens too many times, Wayne. It can't happen that often and be an accident every time.
Yeah, deliberately hurting I think is a bit of a stretch though when it comes to the modern day player, including Toby Green, who might have form when it comes to, you know, making people earn it, etc. And I think there is a difference between the two. But look, we'll agree to disagree on that, Blair. I appreciate your call. And Shane in North Fitzroy, North Melbourne was on the agenda earlier on. So, Shane, you got a thought on North Melbourne before we move on from North as well?
G'day, Pop. I know you're doing well, so I won't ask. North, they get smashed from pillar to post. If people have to remember, there's one thing. North are not much better than a Div 1 ammo side. So all this thingy and whoever get out there and criticise Clarkson and they want to see something, mate, North's list is horrendous. So, and then he said that he compared, he said the Hawthorne and North were like on level pegging list-wise. That is the biggest load of gibberish I've ever heard. And as for players not wanting to hurt anyone, just on that last place call, give me a spell, mate. I reckon half the players want to go out and hurt someone. And in my humble opinion, Peter Wright deserved that. He should have got 6 weeks because he did not want to go for the ball at all. He wanted to hurt that bloke. And Toby Green actually touched the ball. So anyway, that's just my humble opinion, Dwayne.
Appreciate your call, Shane. A couple of editorials in that. Division 1 ammos for North Melbourne's a bit harsh, I reckon. But, yeah, you've got an opinion. That's the beauty of Midday Madness. And you can keep your calls coming, 1-300-736-736. I think that North's list is thin. But, gee, they've got some early draft picks on it. And they've got to work out how good their development system is right now. Because if you can get a couple of their early draft picks to improve, at the moment they've got some that have plateaued and in some ways gone backwards. I mean, Dersma's gone backwards since his early season form. They've got a few guys that have gone backwards when it comes to their young guns in terms of their early season form. And they rested Wardlaw as well. So something going on there as well for having to rest him. Appreciate your call. All right. The great debate for titanium caravans, built tough to tackle Australia's harshest conditions, make your next caravan a titanium. Keep your text coming too, by the way, 0433981116. One here from Bo. Dwayne, how can you possibly say Geelong isn't the best team in the comp right now at 6-0 is a laughable comment? Well, there has been talk, and Nathan Buckley and Kane Corns debated this yesterday as to who's Geelong played and whether there is a but when it comes to Geelong's credentials. I still think Geelong, it's going to bite them a bit having no second bye in the next couple of weeks. I think they might lose their next two games against Carlton and Melbourne, especially given they're going to face Melbourne coming off 2 9-day breaks, Melbourne having that extra bye. So here it is. If I was to rank the teams by most likely to least likely to win the flag this year, in my humble opinion, I think the ladder does lie at the moment. Collingwood 10th is a lie. Brisbane 12th is a lie. Adelaide's not, well, I don't think Adelaide's as bad as 15th, but maybe they're 13th or 14th. So here is my ranking. Most likely to win a flag this year. Sydney number one. I think they're the most likely team. They're the number one team in the comp right now, to me. But that's just my thought. Carlton's number two. Collingwood's number three. Collingwood might be 10th on the ladder, but they're the third best team in the comp, in my opinion. Brisbane, four. Yeah, they're outside the eight, but Brisbane, I think, have got a great list. And they're still the fourth best placed team, I think, to win the flag this year, even though a lot have written them off because they won't finish in the top four. I've got Melbourne at five, the Giants at six, Geelong at seven, Port Adelaide at eight, Bulldogs at nine, Essendon at 10, Gold Coast at 11, Fremantle at 12. I'll put St Kilda at 13, ahead of Adelaide at 14, and then Hawthorn, Richmond, the West Coast, and North. So your thoughts on all of that? 1-300-736-736. The great debate thanks to Titanium Caravans, Australian-made luxury off-road caravans. The debate about Geelong? Well, here's a little bit of Nathan Buckley and Kane Corns yesterday during SEM Breakfast.
We talk about Geelong as an offensive threat, and they're now slingshotting a little bit more, but they'll stack their back half. And when we talk about momentum, that makes it hard to score heavily against Geelong because they stack their back half, but then they can have their runs coming back the other way. But St Kilda, they beat.
But. There's no buts.
Yeah, no, there is a but. St Kilda have only won one game. Adelaide have only won one game. Hawthorn just won their first game. The Bulldogs have won 50% of their games, three of them. North haven't won one. Brisbane have won two. Out of the combined, their combined opponents have only won nine games in 36. There's your but.
There's no but.
Apropos of nothing. They've taken all conditions, all opponents on at this point. We will find out the pointy end ability of them. And they've been able
Brisbane
to mix and match.
Made a mockery of Melbourne on the MCG.
They did.
And they have gone to Brisbane, a team that played in the grand final last year.
Agreed.
On their home deck and knock them off convincingly in tough conditions.
Agreed.
There is no but with Geelong.
They've
got seven games left at home. They've got a squad mentality. They've got the best coach in the league. He's 20% better than the next
coach. I'm already talking
their
about...
Their front six is better than anyone else's. Yes, their
Agreed.
Midfield has some questions.
Agreed.
They are in the best position right now to win another premiership versus any other team.
So I've got a but on Geelong. Bucks has got a but on Geelong. Kane says there's no buts. Your thoughts on all of that? Mark in Sydenham wants to talk. Sydney, who I've got ranked number one right now. Mark, welcome to you.
Good afternoon, Dwayne, I should say. Loving listening to the show. Two things I want to say. First off, you can't rank teams based on who they've played. And the reason why I say that is because Sydney lost to Richmond. Richmond have only lost one game. Adelaide beat Carlton. Adelaide have only won one game. So winning form is still good form, and I ranked Geelong higher than six. However, I was shocked yesterday when I listened to Jared Waitley and David King ranking what they consider to be the top four sides, and the Swans weren't mentioned. David King had Melbourne there. Melbourne just been thumped, and they had a bye, and the Swans have beaten Melbourne. And Jared Waitley had Collingwood. The Swans beat Collingwood. So the Swans have only lost one game. And the five sides that they've beaten have all been pretty good sides. Everybody bagged the West Coast win, should have won by more. Now they're not saying that because West Coast have turned it around and won the next two games. So I think people have underestimated West Coast form. I think the Swans form is pretty good. 50-point win against Gold Coast was a great win. Pressure rating highest of the year that they had. And it's barely been spoken about.
Spoken about it on this program, Anthony. Mark, and I'm with you. I think they're the number one. Brendan and Yarra Glen, your thoughts on the Cats? Talking to you, Brendan, as we head to your calls. Take as many as possible. 1-300-736-736.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. I just wanted to know that we beat Brisbane pretty convincingly, the Cats did. You think Adelaide are better than they are. The Dogs, I think you've got the top eight. So how can the Cats be so low, considering we're going down this narrative we haven't played anyone? But if the ladder should change in the next couple of weeks, it corrects itself. It might turn out that we have played some quality opposition.
Yeah. I just think the Giants are a little bit better at the moment than you are, if you don't mind me calling you you. I think Collingwood's flying again, so I think Collingwood's chances of going back-to-back are pretty good, and I think Sydney and Carlton are going damn good. So, yeah, I've got you seven, but maybe you should be a little higher. But, I think there's going to be a correction coming up. I think a loss to Carlton, no Tom Stewart, and then a loss to Melbourne coming off 2 9-day breaks when Geelong hasn't had the second bye luxury that Melbourne's had, will all of a sudden have Geelong 6-2, and they'll be about 6th or 7th on the ladder, Brendan. So that's my justification, but that's okay. I might end up being horribly wrong. Stephen Melton, you there, Steve?
Dwayne, I pretty much agree with you with all of it, what Buckley was saying the other day. The funny thing about this fixture this year is that the eight teams that played that opening round, you'd almost add 10% to their form, because most of them were coming off short breaks. Going into each game, I was calling it 3 6-day breaks. Melbourne had a few really short breaks. It just stuffs you around, and the extra bye, like you said, I reckon is going to add 10% to their chances to those eight teams' chances. Well, probably not Richmond, but you know what I mean. You get the extra break. Some of these clubs that had the early week, it might actually help us at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that 100%. Anthony in Sydney, you got a thought on Collingwood? Welcome to you, Anthony.
Hey, Dwayne. Something that I find has been creeping in with many teams, but was with Collingwood for at least the early stages. It's just an observation. I want to know what you think about it. Perceived pressure versus reality. So early on in the season, Collingwood were rushing where there was no need to rush. They were making decisions under perceived pressure, not pressure that was actually applied by the opposition. What I found in the Port Adelaide game is that, yes, Port's pressure was real at many different stages throughout that first quarter, but Collingwood were better at when they actually had the time, they used the time correctly. Whereas previously, even if there was no player on them, or they had that one and a half seconds to react in a different way, whether it was a handball or a kick up front or something like that, they just weren't using it. They were just putting it on the boot and away you go when there was no requirement. I spotted a few during the weekend's games from other teams as well. Just want to know your thoughts, or whether or not you picked up anything in your commentary or anything like that.
Now, poise with the ball is huge, though, Anthony. Collingwood's got it the majority of the time. No doubt whatsoever.
Okay. All good.
Yeah. Now, Pendlebury's got it. Nick Dacos has got it. Josh Dacos can buy himself time, and his poise with the ball is exceptional. DeGoey's got it. Lipinski had it on the weekend. Poise with the ball is massive. A great call. I agree with you on all of that. Scott on the road, you got a thought about Geelong? Welcome to you, Scott.
Thanks, Guano, for taking the call. Look, I think it's hilarious that there's so many supporters that genuinely get so distressed because a commentator thinks their team's no good. The reality is that, you know, David King had the Cats in the bottom 5 6 weeks ago, and us people who know Geelong are sitting here just laughing our heads off going, you know what, mate? The most disappointment in life comes, 90% of your disappointment comes from unrealistic expectations. So you blokes can all write the Cats off. They've got 7 games at home. And we'll just sit back, be the underdogs, and we'll win another flag like we did in 2022. And you'll all scratch your heads and say, oh, well, we all make predictions and we get them wrong. But just write them off at your own peril, because they will win it.
Appreciate your call. Look, gamble responsibly. Remember what you might be gambling with. But If we go to the bookies at the moment have the Giants, the favourites, and the Cats second, Sydney third, and Carlton fourth. So the bookies think you're up there, but maybe it's weight of money. Snapper in Port Phillip Bay, you've been holding for a while. Snapper, welcome to you.
Afternoon, Dwayne. Hope you're well. It was a great weekend of sports, Dwayne. For the first time in a long time, all my teams got up. We started with Melbourne City. I sat there watching the whole game while Carlton was going on and almost lost all the hair that's remaining on my head, but we got up. We're 1 foot in the finals now. Then I watched the Blue Boys put on a clinic. I thought we were dead and buried, Dwayne, like 22 points down. I thought this is going to be a long afternoon, but to the boys' credit, that third quarter was probably one of the best quarters I've ever seen from the Carlton Football Club in a very long time. Sunday, the Melbourne City girls, 3-0 against Newcastle in the first leg, heading into the second leg for a place in the grand final. And then Monday morning, Manchester United, 3-0 up cruising, and then all of a sudden, 3-3. It was 4-3, but VAR ruled it out. And I sat there watching through penalties, Dwayne, and I tell you what, it reminded me why I love sport so much, because nothing is certain, and it's always the unpredictable that can always happen. So, great weekend of sport all round, Wayne.
Good to have you, Cole Snap. Always great to have you on. Mark of the Limestone Coast, you there, Mark? Thanks for holding.
G'day, mate. Have you got your 2H pencil or your HB pencil?
I'm ready to go. What do you got for me to write down?
Are you ready to go? Yep. Mate, you are dead right. Actually, can't be 110% right. You're 100% right about the ladder being a lie. The reason being is the fixture's a farce. It's an absolute farce. Opening round was just a gimmick and a joke. It is now affecting teams, which is affecting livelihoods. You can't have some teams having buys and other teams playing in three different states in 11 days without a buy. For example, my team, St Kilda, they've had 2 5-day turnarounds and a 6-day turnaround with no buy. Then you've got Sydney, which has had a 5-day turnaround at all. They've only had 1 6-day turnaround, but they get a bye. So you've got one team completely favoured in regards to the fixture and another team getting absolutely screwed. Carlton, no 5-day turnarounds, a couple of 6-day turnarounds and a bye. No wonder they're going so well. So, as I said to you last week, St Kilda and that lady from North Melbourne, she's got a gripe. We get treated like cannon fodder, basically, and we always have. Well, last thing, I was just looking at the AFL website, and their stats go back to 2012, right? And I was looking, we're playing Port Adelaide this week, and I was looking at how often we've played Port. Now, take away the China game, which we were pressured into going to, and the Cairns game. They have currently played us at Docklands 4 times since 2012, and we've played in Adelaide 9 times. Mm. Work that out.
I hear where you're coming from, Mark, because that's been something that I've often thought about as well. How come this team doesn't play that team away ever? Great to have you, Cole. Thanks for holding. Gerald, Corey, Luke, Rowan, Ian. We'll get to you straight after the break. Oh, plenty to come still on the Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu, but it's Midday Matters. You call, you get on. That's the promise all the way up to 2 o'clock and then a little bit later on. Sammy Edmund with the latest news after 2. Hawthorn defender Jeff Scrimshaw. The round 6 rising star Darcy Wilson from the Saints. So stick around for that, Mark. And Simon Hill to talk the world game.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Corey in Mill Park, thanks for holding. Corey, welcome to you. Oh, there we are. We needed that on this Tuesday afternoon. Just a little chill music. Let's just take a breath together. In for 5. 3, 4, 5. And then out for 5. Thanks, Corey. Luke in Adelaide, you there, Luke? Thanks for holding.
Yeah, mate. Dwayne, how you going?
Yeah, good. I'm feeling refreshed now.
Love the show. Long time listener. First time caller.
Thanks for jumping
just
on.
Wanted, a couple of things. First one was, are there any Dwayne's World shirts still floating around?
We'll find one for you, Luke. In Adelaide, whereabouts in Adelaide you going to wear it?
I'm going to go to the footy this Friday night, so I'll wear it this Friday night.
All right, we're pride. We'll get one coming your way. Thanks for asking. What else can we do for you?
The other one I wanted to chat about, see your thoughts were, have you noticed recently, this season and last season in particular, the defenders in a one-on-one seem to be playing from behind a lot more?
The back shoulder idea is something that they like to do, Luke, and it's kind of either back shoulder or 5 metres in front the way it stands right now.
Yeah, I just feel like the quick kicks out of the pack, especially this year, a lot of them are dropping short and the forward seems to be marking it 9 times out of 10. Whereas you look at 5 years previously, defenders would always play, in front. So that quick kick, they can always cover it.
Yeah, I think a lot of defenders want to be the last guy. So if it's, Stephen May, for example, he wants to be the last guy before the defensive goal. So I can understand you playing back shoulder and wanting to be the last guy back there and even giving your opponent 3 or 4 metres. But the quick kick is still the killer. And it depends on a lot of things, like how much congestion is there between the man that you're guarding and the ball. If there's 15 bodies between the two of you, then you kind of don't have to be playing in front as desperately because it's doubtful that a quick kick's going to get to your man. There's so many bodies. But if there's no bodies in between you and the ball, then you're probably better off, I think, still playing in front a little to be able to stop that quick kick if there's, 30 or 40 metres of general space with no one in that space between you and the ball. But it depends on every defender and depends on the tape you've watched for the guy that you're playing on, because you have to work out what the guy you're playing on wants you to do because of where he gets his ball. And that's why so many players these days watch the tape and they play their position determined by what has been decided in previous encounters between you and that guy and the previous games that that guy's played and where he likes to stand. Spiros and Carnegie, you there, Spiros?
Yeah, Dwayne, how are you?
Good.
Dwayne, Caroline Wilson actually last night on Footy Classified actually raised that what I'm going to ask you about whether the incidents, that Clarko suffered a bit of the mental issues and what's happened at around at Hawthorne. And I think Matthew Lloyd said, yes, it has affected him. And then Kane Corns actually, I'm not sure if he raised it as a question or a statement that, maybe he's not this great coach. I think eventually that North will come good. It might take them time. But what do you think, though, about his coaching? What do you think about those
games? Look, I think it probably has affected him the year that he had last year. He didn't coach the whole year as well. I think North will get better in time. But how much patience has North fans got, given they finished 17th, 18th, 18th and 17th the last 4 years, and now it's another year of being down the bottom? I think they've got a lot of good kids. Yeah, it'd be great to have Harley Reid, but that ship sailed. But they do have, and they're great to have Horne Francis, but that ship sailed. But I think Cheesel's going to be a star. I think Dersman will be good eventually. Wardler looks like he's got a great upside. McKercher's going to be good. And you've still got arguably the best or probably the third best full forward in the comp, Nick Larkey, who's decided to stay long term. Now, you can't keep losing players like Mackay. That hurts. Hurts a lot. And Zerha might go. So how much is that going to hurt? North don't have depth, so that's a killer as well. And they've recruited badly. So, yeah, someone's always going to be down the bottom. Right now it's North. Unfortunately, it's been North the last 4 years too. So, yeah, it's going to be another hard year. Just goes to show, you might be the greatest coach in the comp, but you need the players. We'll take a break. Appreciate your call. Gerald and Q will come to you. Daniel and Reservoir will come to you. Still to come, Jack Scrimshaw. I might ask Jack Scrimshaw where he prefers to play, back shoulder, and how much of where he plays is determined by the tape that he watches for the opponent coming up. You're at Dwayne's World. Give me text coming through as well on the 40 Winks temper text, 0433 98 11 16. One here, Kangaroos have serious talent. They have no game plan. Huge difference, Dwayne. Thank you for that text. 11 16 SE Zen. Thanks for that text as well. Glad you appreciated the little meditation moment we had in the middle of Midday Matters. Dwayne, or one here, Midday Meditation. Thank you. Dwayne, you're a brave man to have Brisbane fourth. Some would say you're dreaming. Is it because you tipped them to win the grand final in the preseason? Damien, yeah, maybe. Maybe I overrate Brisbane a bit. But, yeah, I've got them in my... If I was to redo my ladder, if I was to rank the teams most likely to least likely to win a flag this year, I do have them fourth. Sydney, Carlton, Collingwood, Brisbane, Melbourne, Giants, Geelong, Port, Bulldogs, Essendon, Gold Coast, Fremantle, St Kilda Adelaide is where I've got them on my real ladder. And another one here, Toby Green is one of the smartest footballers we'll see. He should be given credit for understanding that contact was inevitable with Boyd and doing his best to lessen the impact. Yeah, it's going to be a big talking point tomorrow, what he gets tonight. Gerald in Q, thanks for holding. Gerald, welcome to you.
Yeah, afternoon, Pipes. What I wanted to say was, mate, I was born in 49 and I've seen a lot of great Carlton sides, but I reckon, you know, being a one-eyed Carlton supporter, this is the greatest Carlton side I've ever seen. I love seeing Richmond suffer. And I wanted to tell you a quick story, Dwayne. I was at the pub on Saturday and I was probably 20 pots deep. And someone asked me how I'd describe the Carlton Football Club, mate. And I said, like a Holden Sandman built between 74 and 1980, because, you know, the old saying goes, if the wagon was rocking, don't club come knocking. Well, the club's rocking this year, Dwayne. Don't come knocking. Here go the Blue Baggers. Go on, boys.
Thank you, Gerald. Thank you for your call. Everyone's got an opinion in this beautiful business of ours, and Midday Madness throws up some variables. Daniel in Reservoir, thanks for holding. Welcome to you, Daniel.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Just Gerald's on needs some medication, I think. Just quickly, Dwayne, the Patrick Cripps hit in Brisbane, do you think if that happened today, that would get reversed?
Oh, yes. Well, no, but the rules have changed, though. The rules have changed since Patrick Cripps got off. Yeah. Well, he got suspended initially anyway. He just got off at the tribunal.
Yeah, it was a pretty savage hit, though. And I don't think Toby Green, well, he did get him, but same with Liam Baker. He just grazed his chin and, you know, he's got weeks for it, but...
Yeah, the difference also, we need to take into account the differences here as well, Daniel. One is a marking contest, and one was the sort of the guy going for the ball in a non-marking contest when Cripps got him. That wasn't a marking contest from my memory.
Yeah. Well, go Tigers though, Dwayne.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate your call, Daniel. Thanks for holding so long. Great to have so many calls coming through. Midday Madness, you call, you get on. That's the Midday Madness promise. 1-300-736-736. The open line brought to us by Werribee Kia. You can drop down and see David, Janan, Aid, Jim. They're all down there. Werribee Kia makes buying cars easy. A couple of texts that have come through as well, more on North. North have two less full-time coaches than a lot of clubs. Clarkson taking a lot of the cap will impact development. North definitely thought the list was more advanced than this. Well, you'd have to think your list was more advanced than winless and 18th. So, yeah, I think everyone thought North's list was more advanced than this. Great to have your calls. Keep them coming. Jack Scrimshaw is going to join me after the break. Hawthorn defender. Speaking of North, they demolished North. We'll ask Jack a little bit about North, a little bit about defender positioning. And Sammy Edmonds still to come. He's going to join us after 2 from a cafe coffee catch-up with all the news. Darcy Wilson, the rising star, still to come. And Simon Hill with the World Game.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Head back to your calls very shortly. 1-300-736-736. Back to your calls for Midday Madness. But Jack Scrimshaw, Hawthorn star defender, has been good enough to join me right now. Thanks to rjsanderson.com.au, personal and business tax experts. Jack, thanks for coming on the show. Great to have you.
No worries, Dwayne. Thanks for having me on, mate.
Can you sort some stuff out for me, Chris? Because sometimes we read too much into stuff, and you can sort it out and tell us whether it has any impact or no impact. Firstly, did it have any impact on you guys, the Hall of Fame dinner during the week, the history lesson that a few of you got? I'm not sure if you went or not, but we tried to read into it whether it did have an impact on the player group to get them back on track this week.
I personally didn't go to that event. It was by all reports, it was a great night, and I've actually listened to a few of the speeches. Look, I don't know if it affected the whole playing group, but myself, I listened to the speeches. I saw Luke Hodge's speech, and I also saw Mitch's speech, and the what Hawthorn meant to them, obviously, when they were playing, and the standards that they were able to drive to get the results that the club ultimately were after was super special. So
glad you clarified that for us, Jack. Also, can you tell us, we try and work out how it is that you can play as badly with the effort that you had against the Gold Coast and turn it around so quickly from week to week. Is that an impossible question to answer, how that can happen?
Yeah, look, we're obviously very disappointed in the effort that that we brought to the Gold Coast. It's obviously really tough to play up there. Gold Coast play the conditions really well, and they're always quite fierce and hard at the contest, and they gave us a touch up. So yeah, it was probably something that we really needed in a way that was able to get us back on track and go back to the standards that we want to hold ourselves to.
Mouth guards at training, did that help you during the week? Is that something that other coaches might do, and did it work for you guys when Sam said bring the mouth guards and you had a competitive session?
Yeah, I reckon it did, yeah. Obviously, it was a tough week for us on the track, and also being embarrassed in a way against Gold Coast definitely added some sort of fire to the belly of all the players, and we're keen to make amends, and yeah, we had a really good week on the track, and that's the challenge for us now, is to hold that standard and continue to bring that sort of effort and intent every week.
Fine line, isn't it? Because you've got a heap of guys out injured anyway, but you bring your mouth guards, you have a session like that, you're in danger of losing another one or two.
Yeah, that's the thing, but I guess it's the price we've got to pay if we want to continue to rise and play the footy that we want to play. So it's sort of the price we have to pay in the end.
So was it simply effort level? Obviously, tactics are a big part of the game, but it just seemed like your effort level was way above North's. Your aggression at the ball, your aggression to win every contest, your aggression, your hard running when you didn't have the ball in defence.
Yeah, no, we obviously, the game that we had against Gold Coast, we let ourselves down, and that's not what we wanted to play like ever, really. I think Sam said after the game that he hoped that we were past that. And it was sort of on the leaders at the club to, really drive the standards throughout the week. And we want to bring that consistently now. So that's the challenge for us as a group, being able to back it up. But it was a good start on the weekend. We need to continue that throughout the year.
And how you decide your positioning, it seems like a lot of defenders do like to play back shoulder, and it has been the way, but how much of it is decided by where every other body is around you, where the congested part of the game is and where the space is around you? And how much is it decided by the video you watch of where your guy kind of wants you to be?
Yeah, it sort of changes every week. I guess, it's helping a little bit that players are starting to sort of go to Sis and try to nullify his influence. And, it probably changes our positioning a little bit. Sometimes it's more back shoulder, but maybe it's a little bit more in front because that's how Sis is sort of playing with a defender on his back. So, it sort of changes depending on who you're on, sort of look at their strengths, what they like to do. And, we definitely look a lot at different players throughout the week and see what they want to, how they want to play. So, we just go off that.
Do you play more in front if you believe that you're going to be able to outread the guy you're on and attack the ball and be the intercept marker that you want to be?
Yeah, it's having a fine line of, where, how far away the ball is from you, I feel. If the ball's probably more than a kick away, I like to sit in front, and as the ball's sort of getting a little bit closer, you like to, have a bit more touch and feel on your opponent, and just make sure you know where he is so, he can't influence the contest. So, it's playing a bit in front and then also knowing when to play from behind as well.
And it does look like you've got a couple of runners from defence. How important is it to have Frosty doesn't run as much as he used to, but you got Weddle now taking off from defence. You do like to have the occasional run. You do have the licence to do it.
Yeah, that's a good thing about our back line at the minute. I feel like we've got a lot of guys that can play multiple roles. You look at Josh Weddle, he played on Jeremy Cameron when we played Geelong, and then he's also playing up higher on smaller sort of more hybrid types. So it's good having that versatility around the group as a back line. And Sis can also play tall and small, and I feel like I can do that as well. So, we're pretty versatile, and, we're open to play multiple roles. It's good.
And Josh Weddle had a great game on the weekend. He really put his heart and soul into a couple of contests where he could have got crushed, but he had a moment against Collingwood. Does that get addressed in front of the group? Do you know the moment I'm talking about? And did Sam address it, or does that get done one-on-one these days?
Yeah, no, it definitely got addressed.
That's not what we want to see as a club. And, you know, that was probably shown a lot through the Gold Coast game. There was a lot of instances where guys were, you know, not going full tilt into a contest or whatever. And that's not what we want to stand for. So, yeah, we're quick to stamp that out. And I was wrapped with, you know, how he bounced back. I thought he was, yeah, incredibly tough on the weekend, putting himself in the hole and, yeah, being tough. We know exactly, you know, the player that he is. So it's good to see him do that stuff.
Yeah, nice to celebrate it as well because he was great. Who will you get back this week? Will Will Day play? Will Mitch Lewis play? Who's coming back?
Yeah, if I think that if training all goes well this week, we'll see Will back this week, which will be, yeah, huge boost for us. I think Mitch is a little touch and go. He's got to get through training and see how he pulls up. But, yeah, it'd be great to have those two back in and they'll add to our strengths as a side.
Jack, great to have a chat to you. Love watching you play. You're flying at the moment, even though you want more wins. But personally, you're going well. So great to watch you. I'll see you this weekend.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dwayne. Thanks so much.
Jack Scrimshaw joining us, Hawthorn star defender for RJ Sanderson and Associates, accountants and taxation specialist. Take the stress out of tax. Patrick in Boroni is on hold. In fact, a quick rapid fire. 1-300-736-736. Rapid fire midday madness. Jump on the line now. We'll get you on before the news. Patrick, thanks for holding. Welcome to you, Patrick.
Thanks, Dwayne. Yeah, I'm here, Dwayne. I think the problem with North is that they have one ruckman and they have one tall forward. Ziri goes off. Larky goes into the ruck. We have too many small and medium-sized players to get pushed around. Our half-back line was McCurchin, Scheel, and one other small player.
Yeah, we're just Sheasel.
Selectors don't get it right. They've got to, and I think they've got to leave our full-back, Charlie Comden, there. That's where he starts. We've got to create a goal-to-goal line instead of concentrating on ballers all the time.
Do you think Zerha will stay, out. Patrick?
He's a star. I thought he played very well on Saturday. And I think the club's doing the right thing. I just hope they can get the team selections correct.
Great to have you, Patrick. Hold the line. We'll send you down to Club Mandalay on us, clubmandalay.com.au. 18 holes of golf for two with carts and a drink midweek for $99. Joe and Coburg, you'll have to be quick, Joe.
Quick one, Pipe. I reckon Green cleaned him up on purpose because he shut him down, mate. He got the best of him and he wanted to clean him up.
We'll see what they say tonight. We'll be talking about it tomorrow. Sammy Edmonds got the latest news after the break. And I've got a big Carlton question to ask you off the back of a text machine question as well after the break. So stick around for that. Great to have you company. Midday Madness was fun again.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. My head's still spinning from another couple of hours of Midday Madness. A lot of fun, though. A couple of texts that have come through. So many texts. I do read them all. Can't read them all out, but one here. Hey, Dwayne, thanks for the interview with Jack Scrimshaw. Love watching him play. That's from Kelly. It was nice to hear that. Well, I'm probably... don't think that too many other players would like to hear it, but it was nice to hear that bring the mouth guards worked. It's old school, but it worked for Hawthorn, according to Jack. Sammy Edmonds been good enough to join me for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Win free McCafe coffee for a year on the My Maccas app with all the news. Welcome to you, Sammy. Great to have you on.
Dwayne, great to be here. I feel like we say the same thing every week, don't we? Groundhog Day with the tribunal and such a debatable one as well. Your calls have been frenzied. They were with Jared as well. They were with Garrington before that. So in a matter of hours, finally, we'll get this one processed. A giant night for the Giants at the tribunal. So Toby Green and Jesse Hogan. And after all the talking, it'll be fascinating to see how the Giants go about it because they are going to have a real crack at it, Dwayne, that's for sure.
Yeah, and if he gets off, it won't change much because the MRO will do the same thing next time. The MRO will still have the same guidelines, cite the same thing, yep, exactly the same way, and then the next player will go to the tribunal. So, yeah, if he gets off, it kind of keeps that can of worms open.
Absolutely, and we'll be confused, and then we'll be... It will come down to fine margins tonight, won't it? If Peter Wright is the reference point at the extreme end, then this is at the to borrow some tribunal speak, at the lower end of careless, isn't it? So it'll be, or the lower end of medium impact, because it's upgraded on potential to cause injury. We know that. And the real debate about it is, did he have a realistic attempt to mark? Was it a realistic attempt on the ball? And did he have other options in front of him? They're the two most pertinent questions at the moment. So Toby Green, Jordan Boyd, and then we've got the almost the Charlie Ballard rule, the adjustment over the off-season when it comes to Jesse Hogan in the goal square with Lewis Young. Look, this one's written into the tribunal ruling specifically, but the Giants will argue that it's below the force required to necessitate a reportable offence. So that one will... there'll be still photos of that one, I'm told, Dwayne. There'll be multiple angles. There'll be freeze-framing. There'll be slow-moing, the whole bit. So it could be long, could be a pretty tedious night at the tribunal tonight.
So it might actually play in the favour of the Lions, given that they got Charlie Cameron off last week and might have a couple of guys at the tribunal missing against them this week, which will be handy.
Yeah, they're both coming off five-day breaks, so this will be in Canberra. No Oscar McInerney for Brisbane. We need to point that out. Darcy Fort coming in, obviously the big O in the concussion protocols. And, yeah, potentially no Toby Green, no Jesse Hogan. We also know that Brent Daniels is in doubt as well for the Giants with a knock to the knee. So they've got their issues. There's a sense of urgency at the Lions, though, regardless of any of that, given they sit 2-4. And haven't won a game at the Gabba, mind you, so far this season. But Chris Fagan was asked the question specifically, Dwayne, how do you plan, or what goes into your planning for a Giants side in a state of uncertainty over their personnel? This was his response.
I think you plan for those players that are got to go to the MRO tonight to be available. And then I think you've got a plan for the fact that if they don't play, that they'll replace them with like players. I mean, they're both deep forwards, and it won't change their system. They'll still play the same way, I would have thought. And their system is what's made them a really powerful team since the middle of the year last year. So it doesn't really affect us too much, I don't think, in terms of our planning.
Might have been a predictable response. I reckon it affects every team. I know he hasn't been in the greatest of form, but when Toby Green's not there, it's just one less person you have to worry about, and a pretty dangerous one too. But his magic's just gone a little bit, hasn't it, Dwayne? I know last year was a high bar, 66 goals. He's just a bit off this year, and maybe just an element of frustration maybe creeping into getting himself in the position that he did against the Blues the other night that's got him at the tribunal.
Always love it when you bring us a bit of fresh press conference stuff. I think Simon Goodwin's spoken today as well.
He has indeed. So this is Anzac Eve, of course, Richmond and Melbourne. They're expecting 80,000 at this one at the MCG. The Demons look cooked in the Lions' loss. They got a good break in, a good bye, 13 days and 4 complete days off for their playing group. So they're set for this one. Cozzy Pickett back from suspension. Clayton Oliver ready to go after hand surgery. Marty Hoare is available for selection. Shane McAdam will finally play for Melbourne, albeit at VFL level. Let's have a listen to the Melbourne coach, Simon Goodwin, particularly on Clayton Oliver's return to fitness, Dwayne.
Yeah, look, he trained match play the other day. He's as eager as ever. There's no question that, you know, carrying that finger for 3 weeks, the weight of that in the last game especially was getting really hard for him. So to get that fixed, to get him healthy and to get him, you know, functioning really well is important. And you can see once again, similar to the start of the season, he's got that smile on his face, he's got that eagerness and that energy to come out and perform.
So he was showing some signs of wear and tear in that Lions loss, but as you heard there, looks like he's up and about. Richmond coming off a much-needed break as well, Dwayne. That pretty nasty loss to West Coast. So Adam Uzo this morning confirming that Jacob Hopper, Dylan Grimes are going to return from injury against Melbourne tomorrow night. There was also the concession, interestingly, Dwayne, that Dion Prestia played when he probably shouldn't have earlier on in the year and a tad underdone. They shouldn't have done that. But let's have a listen to Adam Uzo on facing his old club, Dwayne, and I guess the suggestions that he's got a fair bit of Melbourne IP under his bonnet.
Well, a little bit, but to be fair, they've got a coach that was at this footy club last year as well in McWalter, so it's going to be quite interesting on what happens. But, yeah, we play a similar brand of footy. They play a terrific brand. They're obviously a top four team and someone that we're trying to chase. So, yeah, I've got some knowledge around individuals and things like that and what their strengths are, but, yeah, we've obviously got to be able to curtail that. So, I've copped a bit of slack with the players. I think I'm up to about $200 at the moment for calling players by their nicknames, and but that's been a little bit of fun and a bit of banter during the week. But as I said, our players can't wait to get started tomorrow night.
They've had a fine system down at Punt Road this week, Dwayne, as you heard there. Any time that Anamuse refers to some of his old players at Melbourne by their nickname, he is fine, and it goes into the equivalent of the swear jar. So big weekend of footy at the G. As I said, close to 80,000 expected for that one. Melbourne and Richmond, 90 to 92,000 for Anzac Day is the forecasting there. And then 80,000 to Geelong and Carlton on Saturday. That's twilight. And then Hawthorn and Sydney round things off on the Sunday. So big weekend at the G.
I went with my real ladder earlier on today, and I had Collingwood third when it comes to ranking the teams who are most likely to least likely to win a flag, Sydney, Carlton, Collingwood. Where do you have Collingwood at the moment, given that the ladder does lie? They're 10th on the ladder. And Craig McRae also spoke today.
Oh, they're in the top couple, surely. Likely premiers. They'd have to be in the top three, I'd have them for sure, without putting any time into that. But he did speak. They've won their last three. Essendon might have turned the corner as well. An impressive last couple of wins that set the scene really nicely for this one. Have a listen to this, though. This was Craig McRae when he was asked, or words the effect of, is your team back, Dwayne? Have a listen to Fly here.
Sort of felt like on Saturday arvo that Collingwood was back. Like the flair
was
back.
Where do we go?
I imagine it's been a lot of work over the last 5 or 6 weeks to get back to that, but it really felt like that was your footy and that was the Collingwood that we know.
Yeah, and we want to be a better version of who we are. We don't want to stand still. But there was a lot of positive signs in regards to the team we want to be and exciting to watch and, you know, fun to play. Those things really express themselves. And a lot of hard work, you know, 2 or 3, 4, 5 weeks from our coaches that do an incredible amount of hours to try to, you know, make us better every day. And we're a work in progress. That was a step forward.
So that was Craig McRae. And that was Drew Jones from Fox Sports. Really wanted Jonesy to play along a little bit there when Craig looked like he wanted to have a bit of fun. Where did we go? Did we go somewhere, did we? But not sure where they went, Dwayne, but they're well and truly back now. How was the pressure they put on Port Adelaide? And if they bring the same against Essendon, can the Bombers stand up to the heat on Anzac Day?
Are you who you are all the time, Sammy, or are you a better version of who you are when you come on with me?
I know. I always try to lift for you, Dwayne. Try to meet your high expectations.
I reckon you're who you are all the time, and that's I love that version. But you can always try to be who you're not and try and be a better version of who you were.
Exactly. I know. Geez, it is wishy-washy, isn't it? Hey, listen, a lot of texts coming through about the Tribunal. Just one I want to leave you with. We've spoken about this many times, I reckon, you and I. If they were to turn around tonight and say, look, we're breaking from tradition here. We're going to broadcast the Tribunal in full. If you want to watch it, you can watch it. Do you reckon it would catch on as a viewing experience, or do you reckon it would be a complete bore fest?
Oh, what else is on? The Jungle?
I mean, celebrity.
Give us a spell. What am I watching? Peter Dacos and someone from the UK who's been flown in to go and eat goat's balls.
But you could be listening.
Or watch the Tribunal.
I'm not a fan of goat's balls either. But, I mean, you could be listening to Adrian Anderson bang on for 45 minutes about the fine print and the minutiae of the legal terminology in the AFL.
Beat someone I don't know from England being flown in to eat goat's balls. So, yeah, I'll take the Tribunal, Sammy. Although MasterChef's on at the moment, of course, the Jungle's
done. What are they cooking? They're not cooking your balls, are they?
I don't think they're cooking. They'll be cooking some sort of ball, but it's more likely a rice ball than something
like a nice risotto special or something.
Maybe one of your pizzas. Nice way to finish, Sammy. Yeah. Hey, is Buddy Franklin doing a lap of honour, Hawthorn v Sydney this Sunday?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that.
All right,
have you just blindsided me with that one? Are you asking with knowledge of the answer?
No, I'm reading Adam's text here. Buddy Franklin to do a lap of honour at the Hawthorn Sydney game on Sunday at the MCG. So there's one to chase up.
Okay, we'll do that. If that is the case, that would be one not to be missed.
Good on you, Sammy. Sammy Edmund from McCafe Coffee. Catch up by any McCafe Coffee on the My Maccas app for a chance to win free coffee for a year. And that Tribunal update for Arnold, Thomas and Becker. Talk to a lawyer and start your no-win, no-fee claim today. Injured? Called Arnold, Thomas and Becker. 1-300-333-300. Darcy Wilson's going to join me after the break. So the rising star for the round from the Saints. I think he was likened to Sam Walsh and Connor Rosie pre the draft. Might ask him who he thinks is the better player between those two. Darcy Wilson joining me next. Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Always great to have your calls and your texts coming through. Thanks to all of you who sent through text on the 40 Winks temper text 0433 98 11 16. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is temper, T-E-M-P-U-R, and can Google the entire temper range or drop into your local 40 Winks and have a lay on the mattresses and on the pillows. And that Werribee Kia open line, of course. Werribee Kia always making buying cars easy. Drop down and see the team, David, Janan, Aid, Jim and the whole team at Werribee Kia. They would love to see you. Darcy Wilson from the Saints is the round six rising star. He's been good enough to have a chat after what's been a fantastic start to the season. Not as many wins as he would like, but his own form's been great. Darcy, welcome to the program and congratulations on your start to your career.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, looking forward to a chat.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a chat as well because you've played every game. Your body of work's pretty damn good. Your best game was probably a couple of weeks ago, your 19 possessions against the Giants, but you've been pretty consistent.
Yeah, no, I love the opportunity to start off with six games early in my career and, yeah, grateful for St Kilda and giving me that opportunity. And, still got a lot of room for growth and learning, but, obviously really lucky to have some really good coaches to help guide me through the start of my career.
Did Ross Lyon say to you pre-season that they wanted a quicker game style, they wanted your speed, so you're a chance to debut round one?
Yeah, I think it is more of the St Kilda game style, the running game. And I think if I can bring those attributes, I was maybe early selection call, but you had to put the work in pre-season, and that's all I tried to do. Just went into the club and put as much hard effort and work in. So, and at the end of the day, was lucky enough to debut pretty early.
I'm not allowed to ask you about your weight. I think that's banned these days, Darcy. But there is a weight story floating around about yours. Do you mind elaborating without me asking about it?
Yeah, no, that's fine. So, I was probably 2 years ago, I was more of a pretty light running type player, which I still am in a way, but to get to that next level I need to put on a bit of size. So just worked pretty hard over 2 years just to put on a fair bit of muscle, and that's definitely helped me get to the next level. So just trying to eat well with my nutrition, and then get in the gym a fair bit as well. So put on quite a bit of muscle, but still got a bit to go, bit to work on, but that's probably the story behind putting on a bit of weight.
So how does a 17, 16, 17 year old go when it comes to, okay, I want to get drafted, I know I've got to put on, well, the story is that you put on 9, so how do you come up with a program? Who do you go to say, I want to put on 9 kilo?
Yeah, so I was pretty lucky. I had a really good S&C coach back my local town in Wangaratta. So I saw Tim Madden. He was really good in that sense of just being able to put some size on but still maintaining my other attributes and strengths. So, he was big on helping me do that. And, been really lucky to have him in my corner and space, as well as just, having good role models and eating well and all that kind of stuff. So,
You obviously do know how to prepare well because you hit the draft camp in great form, and I don't know how much weight you put on it or how much weight you thought that the recruiters were going to put on your draft camp performance, but you won the vertical jump. You finished second in the 2K time trial. You were top 8 in the agility as well. So you obviously had your mind set on putting in a pretty good performance there.
Yeah, I think that's just the combine's just the icing on the cake, I guess. I think the work you put in over the 3 or 4 years to get to that point, and then for it to pay off was pretty good. But going into it, I wasn't expecting it to happen overnight. I tried to put in the work to have good fitness and good football ability in years prior. So that held me in good stead.
Did you know the Saints were going to take you? Because you are a Murray Bush Rangers kid, as you mentioned, from Wangaratta, and I presume staying home would have been pretty high on your priority list if you had your choice, and yet the Giants and Sydney had the 2 picks before St Kilda at pick 18?
Yeah. I honestly, on the night, had no clue. I think at the end of the day, if I got through to St Kilda, they were pretty keen. Obviously mentioning Ross Lyon and the game plan. So, at the end of the day, I'm lucky enough to get picked up and was happy to go anywhere.
And Mick Nolan, I think you've got a couple of, speaking of weight, you've got a couple of guys in your history background as well that are relatives. Do you know much about the career of the two guys you're associated with in your family lineage?
Yeah, so Mick obviously a bit of a different build and play to me, but yeah, I obviously grew up knowing how he went about footy, and yeah, he had a pretty good career at North Melbourne, and yeah, obviously played a bit of a different style of game to me, but yeah, it's always good having some family history in the game, and yeah, kind of motivated me to try and get drafted.
Yeah, we are allowed to know Mick's weight. We were allowed to know, I think it was written up as 135 kilos at one stage. The Galloping Gasometer was his nickname. Have you? Obviously, that's not yours. Have you got a nickname?
No, I don't really have a nickname at the moment, but definitely wouldn't be the Galloping Gasometer, that's for sure.
Do you know what a gasometer is?
Yeah, I think it's a big tower out. It was outside North Melbourne's training ground, wasn't it? Yeah.
You do know your history, which is nice to hear. Hey, you've played some pretty good teams, Geelong, Giants, Collingwood, Essendon, Bulldogs. Who's the best of them without trying to ask you too hard a question?
Yeah, well, I suppose Bulldogs showed that they were a lot better with the score result. But I suppose the most challenging for me was probably the Giants. Obviously been a good side for the past few years, and yeah, their ability to move the ball and transition, and yeah, I was pretty gassed at the end of the game with their run and carry. So yeah, I reckon my hardest opponent would probably be GWS. Yeah.
And while I'm asking you some hard questions, there's been one asked in here. You were compared pre-draft to Sam Walsh and Connor Rozee. Was the two fairly good names in the game right now. Is that a fair comparison as to where you want to get to?
Yeah, they're definitely two players that I look up to with their speed and power and running ability. So love watching those two growing up and kind of modelled my game in a way off how they play. So
can you help Kane Corns? You probably don't listen to SEN, but if you can help Kane Corns out or the rest of us out, who's the better player between Sam Walsh and Connor Rozee if you had to pick one or the other?
Yeah, it's a tough question. They're both elite in both their fields. I'd probably say Rozee at the moment. He's had a good start to the season, and Sam Walsh has been a bit unlucky with injuries, but yeah, they're both absolute stars of the game.
We'll just keep it up between us. We won't let Kane know that you said that. Otherwise, that'll get a replay on Breakfast on Friday. Darcy, great to have you on. Good to hear you've got some personality, and nice to have some fun with you. I appreciate you jumping on and having a chat to me. It's been great fun for me, and keep on keeping on. Your career so far has been outstanding. Let's hope the Saints can rise up the ladder.
Yeah, hopefully. Looking forward to it. So, thanks, Dwayne, and thanks for having me on.
Darcy Wilson, Round 6 Rising Star. Back with a couple of your calls. 1-300-736-736, the open line, brought to us by Werribee Kia, always making buying cars easy. Lost at the wash time for showers and dog washers. $5 from every wash goes to your footy club. Showerser.com.au. Showerser dog washers. Dog washers for all footy clubs. You can get one at your club. If it's been lost in the wash today, jump on the line. Andrew and Hyatt's on the line. Have you got a thought as to, well, who is ahead of who at the moment? Walsh or Rozee? It was interesting to hear the selection of Rozee. Kane Corns will definitely give that a run on Breakfast, you would think, on Friday. Andrew and Hyatt, welcome to you. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Pipe. Hey, just on the Rising Star nominee, good on him. Had a good body of work. But St Kilda got smashed on the other night. So I don't understand how anyone from that whole round could not get selected over a player from St Kilda.
I think it was an accumulation round win, Andrew, and they do this occasionally. His game the week before was really good, had about 19-odd possessions, better than the game he had on the weekend. And he's played every game this year, Andrew, so it's probably the accumulation, which they do.
Yeah, all right. It's a bit odd because, I mean, they didn't play very well, and I don't think he played very well.
No.
To get nominated in a game where he didn't play well at all is a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not sure who else that they could have nominated from that round. I'm with you, though. Sometimes it is a bit curious as to who they do nominate. But I think on this occasion, it's one of those where you just say, OK, it was an accumulation body of work, first 6 weeks, and that's the reason why. Hey, by the way, Lakers and Denver playing at the moment. Lakers lead 99, Denver 97. There's 34 seconds left, and Denver has the ball, and they've just tied it up 99 each. So Lakers have the ball, and there's less than 30 left. So NBA playoffs updates for Tyre Power, the MVP tyre experts for your family. Cleveland taking a 2-0 lead in their series against Orlando after winning game two, 96-86. Lakers just put it up, long shot, rimmed out, 10 seconds left. Denver had the last shot to take a 2-0 lead. 99 apiece, clock winding down, 4-3-2, going to have to get it up. Driven to the basket, two-pointer to win it, and they do win. Walk-off two-pointer, Denver lead 101-99, and that is the end of the game. The buzzer has sounded. So that's the latest there. Denver now leads 2-0 in that series, and they've played a couple of really tight rippers, those two teams. A couple of other texts that have come through. Dwayne, do you think there's a concern that the harder physical contact is being removed from our game? That's Stephen from Canberra. I think the AFL is moving the game in the right direction. But again, if you're playing the ball, if you're going for the ball, I think you've always got an out. And hopefully that does stay as part of our game. If you're 100% focused on the ball, hopefully that will always be your out. And a couple here that have talked about the rule changes. I think the rule should be, if you take your eyes off the ball and contact someone, as opposed to if your eyes are on the ball, you're okay. The hard part is players have got great peripheral vision in that instance. I mean, Butters knew that Banfield was there. He didn't have to take his off the ball to know that Banfield was there because his peripheral vision was such that he knew he was there. So that's the hard part about it. It's an obvious cue for the umpires and for the MRO if you do take your eyes off the ball and look at the player before you make contact. But there are some pretty clever players out there right now that can actually be going for the ball but know the contact with a player is coming. We'll take a break, back to wrap it all up. Simon Hill also to join us after the break. You're with Dwayne Field, looking forward to talking World Game with Simon Hill next. Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Always great to have so many of your calls and your texts coming through. Always great to have a chat to Simon Hill, host of the Global Game, which you'll hear from 8 to 10pm tonight across the SEN network and on the SEN app. You can download and have a listen to that anytime you like. If you can't, tune in at 8 o'clock tonight and hear Simon talking about, well, the A-League's got plenty to talk about at the moment, including the top two, who have been kind of the top two we've been talking about for quite a while. Simon, welcome to the program. Firstly, great to have you back on.
Good to be with you, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm good. Business end of the season now for both the men and women, and we have been talking a bit about how the latter's kind of told us that Wellington and Central Coast have been the best two teams all season, and it comes down to this.
Yeah, well, there's 1 weekend to go, but the Mariners actually have 2 games left. The way it stands at the top, Wellington are top with 50 points from 26 games. The Mariners have 49 from 25. And the reason they played a game less is that they were in AFC Cup action in Kyrgyzstan during the week, last week. And unfortunately, their flight back home was cancelled because of inclement weather in Central Asia. So they missed it out on playing at the weekend for obvious reasons because they were struggling to get back in time to play Adelaide. So that fixture is going to be held over until, I think, the 30th of April. So it's in their hands, basically. Wellington had a bit of a stumble on Friday night against Newcastle, drawing 1-1. They had a stoppage time penalty to win it, which really would have put the pressure on the Mariners, but unfortunately for Wellington, Alex Rufer hit the outside of the post. So it's in the Mariners' hands now. If they win both their games, they will be premiers going into the finals.
And speaking of the finals, anyone else capable of the big upset, do you think? Melbourne Victory are sort of snapping at their heels?
Yeah, look, Victory are in third and will probably finish third. I think they've certainly got a puncher's chance in the finals. You know, they've only lost 4 games, the same as Wellington Phoenix. The problem for Victory has been too many draws this season, which is what has denied them the premiership. So they're certainly in with a shout. The big talking point going into the last weekend with the rest of the six is who finishes in sixth. The top five is done, but it's one of Melbourne City or Western Sydney Wanderers. The Wanderers
go to victory at the weekend, their last game. They need to win and hope that City slip up at home against Western United, who are already out of finals contention. So that's the one remaining issue, apart from the Premiership, still to be resolved, the makeup of the finals.
And the A-League Women's Finals are already underway?
Yep, the A-League Women are into the semi-finals. We had the first leg of those at the weekend. Melbourne City defeating Newcastle Jets away from home by 3-0 in front of, I think it's a record crowd for Newcastle women, over 6,000. And the Central Coast Mariners against Sydney FC, Sydney edging that one by 1-0. They say that the ladder doesn't normally lie, and that's certainly proved to be the case in week two of the finals. Melbourne City, of course, the premiers, and Sydney FC finishing runners-up. Sydney FC are the defending champions. It looks, with the home legs to come for both those teams, as though it will be a Sydney-Melbourne City grand final, probably in Melbourne. So, yeah, it's an interesting time of the season. And, of course, the women have had an expanded campaign this year, which has been great to see, much more games. And, you know, it's good for the development of our players for the Matildas as well.
Yeah, speaking of the Matildas, we'll be barracking for them in Paris. But the Ollie Roos, a bit disappointing.
Yeah. No goals in three games is a real underachievement. Let's be brutally honest about it. And I know there's been a lot of talk about whether Nestoria and Kunda should have been included or not. But, you know, he is one player as talented as he is. And I think the rest of the squad certainly had enough in their capability to have done a lot better. So it's back to the drawing board with that. They were very laboured in their play, struggled to create chances, even though they dominated possession. And unfortunately, in the men's game in particular, that's been something that's been with us for some time. And it's probably something that Football Australia need to look at in terms of the development of the next generation.
Yeah, so what's the next step there? What would you advise them? I'm sure you're going to talk more about it tonight.
Well, I mean, it's not for me to advise them, really. The talent is there. Whether the systems of play are too robotic, too predictable, too laboured, I certainly think that should be part of the conversation. Do we encourage individual talent enough? I don't know. All I know is that when you look at the quality of some of the players that went to the AFC Under 23 Asian Cup, a lot of whom have had very good seasons in the A-League. Jake Holman, to name but one. There are good overseas players like Mo Touré, Garan Kuol. But for whatever reason, they're not particularly gelling as a team. So, you know, that certainly needs to be looked at. I'm sure there's a myriad of reasons as to why they failed, but to fail so badly, I think raises a lot of questions. And I'm sure there will be a thorough review, or at least I hope there will be, try and put things in place so it doesn't happen again.
Speaking of reviews, do they review the red card system at the end of every season? You guys talk about it a bit, but there was another controversy on the weekend in the A-League.
Yeah, well, I certainly reviewed Ivan Vujic's red card in the MacArthur-Sydney game, and that one has been rescinded, rightly so, in my opinion. This speaks to, bigger conversation about VAR, conversation that we've had a lot of times before. I think it's getting too involved in the game. It really should be there for howlers. Clear and obvious errors, as the wording used to be, whether that still applies or not, I've no idea. But for me, it's getting involved in the on-field action far too often. That red card was a classic example of it. It was a 50-50 ball, and okay, Ivan is maybe a fraction high. It's a foul, and it's a yellow card. And as Ufuk Talay, I think, and a lot of the other people on the benches on Friday said to the officials when they were making their decision, not everything is a red card. You don't always have to get involved. And it spoils the game. But I've been saying this for a long time now. Maybe it's starting to seep through because we had some controversy in the FA Cup semi-final between Manchester United and Coventry as well, where a Coventry goal was rubbed out by basically a big toenail being offside. To me, that's not the spirit of the law.
I prefer to go back to referee's call and, you know, let's get back to enjoying a game that that has human error, the same as all sports. But this forensic dissection, frame by frame, of every single passage of play, to me, is not where we should be going.
No, we'll keep on it because there's a lot that are in your corner. And hey, speaking of human error, the Nottingham Forest story, if you could just sort of put that in a nutshell for us, because there is obviously the thought that some people make errors and some people just don't think get things right as they should get them.
Well, you know, this is the problem with VAR, because, you know, without VAR, you've got more of a case to say that, look, you know, the refs made a mistake. It happens. Everybody's human. But when you've got VAR there, then people now expect perfection. And it's impossible, because all you're doing, you can add as many machines as you want, but you still need humans to operate them and interpret them. So all we're doing is adding another opinion. And it means that, you know, nobody agrees. So I don't agree with the statement that Nottingham Forest put out. I think it's pathetic, quite frankly, childish, resorting to pub talk from a professional football club that's in the English Premier League. I think it's an absolute disgrace. But, you know, that maybe they're right that errors were made, but to accuse officials of outright bias, to me, is pandering to the mob mentality, and I hope they're suitably punished for it.
Yeah, so there will be something fairly big, won't there? Because you can't do that in any sport in the world at the moment. I presume you can't do it in the EPL either.
Well, you shouldn't be able to, but this is the era that we're now in, that there are so many controversies, and you know, the litigious nature of modern society. We're going to end up in the Premier League, potentially this season, and this is a slightly different point, but we're going to have relegations and promotions decided in courtrooms. Well, that's not sport. You know, it's supposed to be decided on the pitch. And with regards to referees, I feel sorry for them. And in fairness, you know, the VAR was brought in with the best of intentions, which was to try and help them. But once we opened the door to this video technology, it was always bound to get involved more and more and more. And eventually we're going to end up with VAR, you know, making decisions on disputed throw-ins or goal kicks. I mean, it's ludicrous, and the games are going to last 4 or 5 hours because we're going to spend half the time looking at little screens. That's not the game of football that I grew up with, but unfortunately, that's the road that we're heading down.
But a familiar road from my side of the road as well. We're watching that unfold in a number of different sports, including the AFL, Simon, so I'm with you on all that. Top end of the EPL ladder, before I let you go, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, that battle continues, and I think you've got it's a Manchester derby in the FA Cup as well, isn't it?
Yeah, the final will be. Both City and United winning through the cup semis at the weekend. City beating Chelsea 1-0, United on penalties against Coventry. But in the Premier League, yeah, it's Arsenal at the top at the moment, Liverpool second, Man City third. But there's only a point in it, and Manchester City have a game in hand, which we play, and I say we because it's my club, obviously. We play against Brighton on Thursday. So if City win that one, then they go back top by 2 points. But it's going to be a fascinating finale. There's only about 5 games to go, so it's going to be very interesting. I think it'll go right down to the wire.
And I presume you'll elaborate on a few of the points on the global game tonight. What else is on the global game from 8?
Yeah, we've got Costa Barbarousas coming on. Wellington Phoenix striker who's had a terrific campaign. He's top scorer for them. And obviously, hopefully, they can win the Premiership. We've got Rebecca Scott coming on from Melbourne City, the women's competition. Obviously, they're in semi-final second leg action this weekend as well. And all our regulars, Spencer Pryor, Alicia Carnivas, and Paul Williams as well. So another big show tonight.
Great to have you, Simon. Always love the chat. So thanks for jumping on. We'll talk soon.
Cheers, Dwayne. All the best.
Simon Hill, host of the Global Game, 8 till 10 tonight across the SEN network and on the SEN app. You can download it and have a listen in your own free time if you can't listen at 8 tonight. Big chat there on all things World Game. Back with more after the break on Dwayne's World. Welcome back to Dwayne's World. It's been fun today. It's been great to have so many of your calls come through again. Midday Matters tomorrow. It's a different week this week with Anzac Week, obviously. So still Midday Matters tomorrow. So back with your calls tomorrow. And then Anzac Day is going to be huge on SEN. I'm looking forward to broadcasting the Anzac Day clash with Gerard Whateley. So a little bit of a different Thursday. And then back on Friday for Midday Matters. So keep your calls coming tomorrow for Midday Matters, and I look forward to joining you tomorrow at midday to take as many calls as possible. Time to celebrate some lives. Thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals. Visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. A family-owned business since 1934. A quick reminder, we're celebrating with the Mavs at the moment. John Cain Arena, Saturday, April 27. You can go to melbournemavericks.com for tickets. That's melbournemavericks.com for tickets, and we are celebrating the birth of the Mavericks for Tobin Brothers Funerals, a family-owned business since 1934. The show has been driven by Warrabakia. Again, the team will look after you down at Warrabakia, just like family. Visit Warrabakia, say hello to David, Janan, Aid, and the whole team down there. If you drop in and tell them we sent you, they'll look after you. They've got a heap of brand-new 2024 Kias on offer. Kia Seltos from just $31,990 drive away. The 2024 Kia Sorento from just $52,990. Plus, there's finance and trade-in offers on now with $500 gift cards. Terms and conditions apply. You can talk to the team today and arrange a test drive for one of their new cars or one of their... They've got over 300 late model used cars in stock at Warrabakia. So they're at Old Geelong Road, Hoppers Crossing. And you can jump on the hotline, 1300-BIKE-HERE, and call them direct. That's 1300-289-542. Or even visit their website, warrabakia.com.au, or just head down to Old Geelong Road, Hobbs Crossing, and see them in person, LMCT114. It's all there on the podcast as well. If you want to have a listen back to any of the chats, the interviews that we've done today, it's there on the podcast. So Darcy Wilson, the Round 6 rising star from the Saints, it was a great chat. Simon Hill, it's all there on the podcast. You can download that. Chat with Sammy Edmund on all the breaking news as well. So download the podcast, have a listen to the bits and pieces in your own free time, or you can listen back to the whole show. Thanks again for joining me. Stick around. Andy and Gacy, looking forward to your company next. And I'm back at midday tomorrow.